terms was repeated. How about the second clause, from which chapter to which chapter? Anyone? Chapter 4 to the end, right? Chapter 4 and chapter 5 is the seeding, is the nursery part. Many terms was repeated. And then from chapter 6 to 16 is the 3777, right? So first part is 1-7, second part is 3-7. Remember that, it's very easy, right? 7-7-7, right? It's always talking from 1 to 6, break 7. 1 to 6, break 7, right? So chapter 6 is 1 seal to the 6 seals, right? And then it break for who can stand firm, because the final part of the 6th seal, because it talk about tribulation, who can stand firm in this kind of tribulation? Oh, the one, chapter 7 talk about, oh, the one that have seal on their forehead, 144,000, right? And then 7 seals. And then there's a break for, there's a 1 to 6 trumpet, huh? Chapter 8 and 9. And then 10, there's another break. Huh? So hopefully you can always remember the structure. So when you go back home, you know that what does book Revelation consist of. Chapter 17 and on is the magnified event. We don't have the time to finish everything. I give you the structures already. I'm going to study more on the seeding part, on the nursery part, because if you know those kind of truths, right, it's easier for yourself to study the rest of it, right? So now we finished chapter 1. In chapter 2 and 3, I only want to introduce how Jesus introduced himself. And the rest of it supposed to be in your group sharing or your homework. You find out what's going on, what did Jesus told them, the contents. Huh? Please turn to chapter 3, verse 1. Continuously, we want to talk about how did Jesus introduce himself. Chapter 3, verse 1. Roger, would you please read? Roger from Vancouver. And here the Lord says that he has 7 spirits. We know that 7 is a perfect number. The Lord of God, the Spirit of God cannot be counted. 7 spirits refer the Spirit of God is full, is almighty, is powerful. And this spirit, 7 spirit of God is very interesting. The Bible says that if the Spirit of God is in the place in front of the throne, right, it becomes 7 lamps that is burning. If it's on the Lamb of God, the 7 spirit becomes 7 eyes and 7 horns. If it is go out to the preaching, become, again, go back to 7 spirit. We shall read it and I will explain to you, right? Chapter 4, verse 5. Andrew from Houston. So the 7 lamps is the 7 spirit of God. Where is this right now? Over here it's talking about the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The throne of God. So it's in the presence of the throne, the 7 spirit becomes 7 lamps that is burning, right? Then later on the lamb it becomes 7 eyes and 7 horns. Chapter 5, verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. Daniel from Houston. Do you see the differences? So this 7 spirit is really very meaningful. If it is on Christ, right, on you, we are the children of God. If you are the fullness of Holy Spirit, the 7 spirit becomes 7 eyes. You have full eyesight. right? Your eyes becomes the eyes of ego. You can see many things clearly. You can see the value of the world, see the value of life very clearly. And if the Holy Spirit is truly on you, you are able to have seven homes. Well, it's on Christ, have seven homes, right? Home, we prefigure power, right? Home is power. When animals fight, they fight with those two homes, right? Home is power. So if you have full spirit, you have mighty power to serve man, to serve God, to do whatever entrusted to you, right? And if you come, how can you have this kind of seven spirits? If you got to come to the presence of throne, you want to live life of burning, you want to shine like light, have good virtue, shine like light, like a lamp in the darkness world, you always come to the throne. This seven spirit becomes seven lamb that is burning, right? So brother and sister, we really thank God. Many brothers and sisters is able to cherish your time to pursue after God over here. Because you notice that without the Spirit of God, you are nobody. You are too weak. You cannot overcome your weaknesses. That's why you pray so hard for the fullness of Holy Spirit. The seven means that perfect. Holy Spirit has no limitation. Huh? You keep pursuing, always have room to pursue, right? So that's try harder. Huh? Many people have joy and peace already, but let us try harder. These seven spirits, it's very interesting that even in the book of Isaiah, recorded seven attributes of this spirit. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1 and 2. Ted from Hillsboro. You count it in verse 2. Of course, this talk about the spirit of rest. Verse 1, the descendants of Jesse refer to Jesus Christ, right? Jesus was from David. David's father is Jesse, right? So here it's talking about Jesus Christ. And the spirit will rest upon him. And they done how many attributes over here? Can you count? The spirit of what? What? Wisdom and understanding. Number 1 and number 2, right? Counsel and mind. Number 3 and number 4. Knowledge and fear. Number 5 and number 6. And the spirit rests on people, right? So, see, if you count it, 7 attributes, if the spirit do not rest on people, the spirit is in heaven, it's not on you, those attributes have no, it's useless, right? Think about this. This is very meaningful thing. You can think about it, right? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. If the Lord gives us wisdom, but no one understands that wisdom, no matter what you do, it's not going to work, right? If you have counsel, you have many wonderful plans, but you don't have might, don't have power to carry it out, it's not going to work. The counsel cannot work out, too. If you have no knowledge, but you have no fear, this is like Satan. Satan has great knowledge concerning spiritual realm, but he did not have fear for heart toward the Lord. Therefore, he sinned, right? So, with the Spirit of God, we truly can have wisdom and understanding. Huh? Wisdom and understanding. Brother and sister, I know you go to college to search for knowledge, right? You look for understanding. But guess what? All the understanding come from God. Huh? You need God's help to make you understand. Huh? I always think about it, huh? Through the whole Bible, who is the smartest person? Huh? Oh, you can figure out many people, right? Jesus, of course, Jesus is Son of God. Jesus always see the Heavenly Father. He prays so hard. The Heavenly Father, he do whatever Heavenly Father do. He speak what the Heavenly Father speak, right? So of course, he is full of wisdom. I'm thinking Daniel was very smart, right? Just let's talk about Daniel. But where is smart come from? Or think about who is the smartest person in the world right now? Who, one person has IQ 140-something from Europe, right? They studied, they tested one of the smartest person in the whole world. From Europe, there was a person IQ 220. Okay, 220. That person is a handicapped person, right? Handicapped person, right? What is his name? Stephen Honk? Honk. He's from Germany. He's from Germany. Oh. To me, the smartest person is either German, or Jewish people. They are. Anyway, this personal preference. You don't have to agree with me. But even the smartest person in the whole world, right? Do you think he was able to interpret your dream? You tell him, right? I had a dream, but I've already forgot about my dream. You tell me what is my dream and what is the meaning of my dream. It goes to that Stephen Stark, Stephen something. Go to him and ask him, do you think he can do this for you? Cannot. Even the smartest person in the whole world is not able to do that, but Daniel was able to do that. This is the grace from the Lord, the Spirit from the Lord. Spirit from the Lord is wisdom and understanding. Counsel and might. A lot of people like counsel, like plan, like to know the future, right? Like to know what I should do. Plan a lot of stuff for his life. King Saul, right? King Saul. When he persecuted David ran away. Before, he was able to be very successful at the very beginning because he had many mighty men serve him. One of them is David, right? David killed Goliath for him. Later on, he pursued after David. Later on, all the enemy come to attack his territory. He was very sad. He did not know what to do. This most important man left him. What did he do? He wanted a very good plan. He wanted to know the future. He wanted to consult Samuel, but Samuel died already. Samuel always had a good plan for him. Later on, what did he do? He also wanted to find his counsel. He go to a witch, right? Witch. What is the purpose to go to that witch, to ask for plan, ask for counsel? But guess what? After he learned that he's going to die next day, what happened to him? He fell into the ground as he died, right? He totally lose his heart, have counsel but no might. Actually, that counsel is from David. From Satan. That counsel is telling him that no matter what you do, you're going to do it to die tomorrow in a battle anyway. So, you know, you like counsel, but if you don't have might, it's not going to work. Nehemiah, when he go back to build the wall, right, he had a lot of plan. But guess what? The plan are all very wonderful, all from God, inside from God. For Ezra to go back to the same country, right? Ezra had to travel many months, and he had to especially make a first prayer to prevent the enemy to rob him, the robber to come to him. But Nehemiah was really had good counsel. He asked the king, and the king gave him horsemen to protect him to go home, and even asked for wood. He go back home, he checked, and he proposed a good plan, right? But guess what? He had a lot of difficulties come to him. Many people tried to attack him, but he had not only counsel, he had might. He has might from the Lord. He was very goal-oriented. The only goal I have in my life is that to build up this wall. 52 days, he was able to build it up. He was not weak. He was not frightened because the Spirit of God was on him. Counsel and might. So, brother and sister, today, you want to be successful, you need to have this servant spirit on you. Pray hard. Huh? Wisdom and understanding. Counsel and mind, knowledge and fear, and it will be rest on you. That's why we have to study hard. We have to pray hard over here. How did the Lord introduce himself? Chapter 3, verse 7. Can Yi Chen from Austin. Chapter 3, verse 7. Amen. The Bible introduces him that he is holy and truth, as the key of David in his hand. So our Lord is a holy God. In the vision, you can see the hair. What is the color of God's, the Lord's hair? Huh? Like what? Wool, right? What the face shine like lightning, right? This is all prefiguration of what? Holiness. If you see it, really want to fall down, right? When he appears, the angels say, holy, holy, holy. That's why the Bible says that without holy, you cannot see God. This four or five days is the processes for you to cleanse yourself, for you to purify yourself. When the day you purify yourself, you are able to see God. I really like to ask you one question. How do you feel in your prayer? Last night, I happened to pass by the study table and asked the sister, how do you feel in your prayer? And she shared with me her story. And I feel like, thank God. I really thank God for him. But she says that her prayer was very struggling in the very beginning. She wanted to see the Lord. He's knocking at the door, he even kicked at the door, hoping the door open the door for her, right? But cannot. From the very beginning, she feels so frustrated. And then she asked God, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And the Lord gave him a sentence. I want the eyesight from your heart. I want the eyesight from your heart. I can understand what does it mean. I want the eyesight from your heart because I was not in your class, right? Eyesight is the whole things in Abraham's life. I want you to offer your love, the most love you have in your heart to me. I think it's a process. Every day you are kicking, you are knocking, right? And the Lord will open the door for you. But you got to know the mind of God, the heart of God. What does the Lord want from you? Maybe the eyesight in your heart. Maybe the holiness. When you reach that stage, the Lord is holy. Then the door will be open for you. God is holy. God is true. And he has the key of David. David is people always call Jesus son of David, right? Son of David, right? When you read the four Gospels, any people call Jesus son of David, that means that this person believed Jesus was Messiah, okay? Because David prefigured the Messiahship kingdom. Therefore, key of David is that the key of God's kingdom. The Lord has the key of God's kingdom. And this key actually give to the church, or give to the Peter. The foundation will be set up on Peter. Therefore, now the church have the key of David. Jesus also have the key of David. What's the key for? The kingdom of the capital of David is Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem is the church. So actually, the key is given to us today. The church control who can enter into this heavenly Jerusalem, who can enter into this true Jesus church. Therefore, whenever people want to be baptized, the church makes decision. Is he ready? Is he ready? Did he have a pure motivation? What is the purpose to believe in the Lord? The key is in Jesus' hand, and now it's in our hand. And he says that if the door of salvation, right, if the Lord open the door of salvation, nobody is able to shut it. This is very amazing. When I hear the testimony yesterday from Brother Travis, right? Sometimes, we have 21 churches now in the United States. Some of the church sites are very small, like Kenoka Park Church. They always say that we are a small church. Like Chicago Church, they always say that we are in a remote area. But you know what? Those churches are very important that you scatter around. You know why? Because you don't know how many groups, 20, 30, 40 people, like Travis, like our brother over here. There are many godly persons in the United States. They are seeking for truth. One day, if the Lord wants to open the door, it will never be shut. But if you look from the other angle, are we ready? We can have 20 people come to Dallas Church. Dallas Church is ready. They are able to pastor, to do the pastoring work to these 20-some Caucasian brothers and sisters over there. But is your church ready to receive so many people come to the church at the same time? Therefore, brother and sister, you should not look down on yourself. You speak better English than us. For me to preach to Caucasian people, sometimes they will say, oh, you speak too fast. I don't understand what you're talking about, right? But for you to speak, it's easier. You speak good English, fluent English, right? So the Lord is preparing you. That's why the Lord asks you to come to NYTS, right? One day when you are ready, you go to local churches. When people come, you are equipped already. You know the truth in Revelation. People, a lot of Caucasian people, you talk to them, they like to talk to the relation to you. If you go to a Sacramento church, you know, those brothers and sisters, those two seekers come over, they already took a lot of stuff in the book of Revelation. You know what? If you do not study, you will get scared. You don't know what is going on, you know? So you got to know the Bible, equip yourself, and evangelize to them. One day, I believe the door will be open. And when it is open, nobody is able to shut it. It's in the hands of Jesus Christ, right? Continue reading. Chapter 3, verse 14. Patricia Kuo from Kinoka Park. Chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. Is he here? Patricia Kuo, is it here? She here? Priscilla Kuo, boy in Pacho. Sorry, Priscilla. Jesus, how did he introduce himself? He is Amen. He is the faithful and true witnesses. He is the beginning of the creation of God. Huh? What does Amen mean? Anybody? Huh? True, right? True. When Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, actually in original language is Amen, Amen, I say to you. Okay? So Amen, Amen means truly, truly. Whenever you pray, right? Last sentence, you say, Amen. It means what? Lord, whatever I just pray, right, is really from the bottom of my heart. If you do not, if you pray and you lose yourself, you are, when you was praying, you think about your homework, right? You think about your, to solve your X plus Y equal to Z, something like that, right? I hope you don't say Amen at the very end. Because it's not true prayer. You are not there. How can you say Amen? Amen means true. Our Lord is Amen. Whatever He promised us, it will become true. Huh? All His promise is true. So, do you know that people? Some people say that there are many. I don't remember that figure. Many promises in the Bible. Huh? Many promises in the Bible, and every promises. That the Lord gave us is true, because our Lord is a true God. He never lied to us. Oh. Faithful and true witnesses. When our Lord Jesus Christ testified on earth, He was so faithful. Even though people persecuted Him, He still faithfully proclaimed the true messages. Oh. And then, He is the beginning of the creation. When the Bible says that when the Lord created the earth, Jesus is the engineer over there. Oh. Of course, they are one. Oh. Of course, they are one. But from the human being perspective, He is the Son of God. Huh? Okay, this is how the Lord introduced Himself. Huh? And you can compare with the vision, and they are all there. There are several difficult terms in the Bible concerning chapter 2 and chapter 3. Maybe I shall, we shall talk about it. Some people ask me a question. It is in verse, chapter 2, verse 6. And 15, huh? Chapter 2, verse 16 and 15, there was a party called Nicolaitans, huh? Nicolaitans. Who are those party? Those party is the party that teach people to eat food that offered to idol and teach people to carry idolatry. Homosexuality stuff. Please read chapter 2, verse 14. They are like the teaching of Balaam, right? 2, verse 14 and 15. Annie from Bowen Park. Okay, so you know that Nicolaitans, actually, they are They are false prophets. They are like Balaam. They preach for profit only, right? They just preach for money. And they use this kind of sexual immoral things to entice people. And that kind of information already spread out in the seven churches, in the land of seven churches, nowadays Turkey, right? In the first century, this kind of concept is spreading already. Even two churches has been, two out of seven churches has been influenced. That's why John wrote this letter to tell them that the Lord wants you to pay attention to this party. Another difficult part, they call it a synagogue of Satan. What does it mean? Chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. Nadia. The Jews slander the churches in that Turkey, that area. Jews actually scatter around the whole world, as a matter of fact. After Jewish people crucified Jesus Christ, right? Pilate says that, you know, I am innocent. This guy have no sin. I'm not going to judge him. And Jewish people say, crucify him, crucify him. We will bear the sin that to crucify Jesus Christ, right? After that, you can see that Jewish faith is really, Jewish faith is really interesting. They really scatter around the whole world. No matter where you go, you can find Jewish people, even mainland China. Jewish culture is very unique. They are able to maintain their culture no matter where they go. They always believe one true God. Those Jewish people always scatter around to the Turkey, nowadays Turkey, huh? The seven churches over there. When anyone preach, because Christianity is from Judaism, now they preach Christianity from Judaism, therefore a lot of Jewish people blaspheme those churches over there. And then the Lord talked to the Jewish at that generation, says that you are synagogue of Satan. You know what? It's very interesting to see the Jewish relationship and the Christianity, right? If you read Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4, you notice that Peter and John was preaching under the Solomon's hallway, right? It is part of the temple. When they perform miracles over there, the Bible says that people from the whole Judea come to the 12 apostles and, you know, go to them and receive healing. So you can see as if all the Judaism temple was occupied by Christianity already. A lot of Jewish people at that time believed in Christian at that time, as if the temple become the Christian's temple. But later on, what you see, there's a process of Jewish people in the Bible, right? Later on, maybe we shall read this verse, huh? Acts chapter 21, verse 30. This is a symbolic action to me, huh? 21, verse 30. Paul from Cerritos. Paul. So when Paul was in the temple, right? People want to persecute him, and they say that this is the one that ruined our teaching, right? So this is a symbolic action over here. He pushed the Paul out of the temple, and what happened to it? The temple of the door was what? Bam! Shouted from him already, right? So you can see the process is at the very beginning, as if all the temple belonged to Christianity. But now at this time, the door was shouted, totally separated from Christianity. And then come to the time of Revelation, it became what? Synagogue of what? Satan. So you see the process is, so Paul says, this teaches us something, huh? If a person really hardened his heart, very beginning you might see a lot of miracle and signs, right? As if you truly believe in God. But you do not agree with some truths, right? You keep arguing, you are not submitted to the whole truth. you separate yourself from the truth of God, you are out already. Later on, Satan occupies you. You become the body of Satan. How your house becomes the house of Satan. So there's a process. That's why a lot of Jewish people at that time did not receive Jesus Christ. Not only that, they persecute Christianity. Later on, the Lord says that you are the Satan. You are the Satan, the group of Satan. Another more difficult part. If you have difficult part, you can come to me concerning chapter 2 and chapter 3. Huh? And the rest of it, you shall discuss together. Huh? Chapter 3, verse 12. When I ask you to read, I will very appreciate if you read out loud because I'm reading Chinese, so I rely on you to understand English. Is Eric Fang here from Dallas? Eric? Yes. Here, the Lord talked to the church of Philadelphia, encouraged them that you shall be endure in your trial, right? And then if you overcome, I will give you crown, right? And you will be pillar in my house. And then if you overcome, the name of God, I will give you the name of God, the name of God's city, and my new name upon you. My question to you, brother and sister, what is the new name of God? What is the new name of God? Maybe I shall give, will be your homework, okay? You search the whole Bible. I know a lot of you have concordance, right? You have concordance, right? You search the whole Bible. You read through the whole Revelation, right? You find out what is the new name of God. Is it fair? Too difficult? Huh? Oh, this is a homework, but it's up to the counselor to make final decision. Can we do that, counselor? I think it's important, right? The homework have to be a little bit difficult, more challenge, so you can read the Bible, right? Oh, by the way. Are you tired? This is the first section, huh? If you are asleep, I don't know how to continue, huh? You want to sing a hymn? Okay, my merciful heart is there, let me give you the answer. What is the name of God that we know? Jesus, right? Jesus is the name of God. But after the end of the war, now when it comes to the conclusion of the war, right? The name of God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's turn to Bible. Here, there's a name over here, right? Chris from San Jose, would you please read? Okay, the name of Jesus Christ is also called the Word of God because Jesus said, I am the Word and I am the truth and I am, right? Right? He is the Word. He is the Word become flesh. So his name is also the Word of God. Continue reading, please. Sixteen. King of kings and Lord of lords, right? So after the anger of God, when the God is exercising his wrath, at the very end, you can see on his clothes, there's a, and on his feet, there's a King of kings and Lord of lords. And this is the new name of God. And this new name of God will be given to you, those who overcome the endure in tribulation, and on you there's a King of kings, Lord of lords. People can tell that you belong to King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, this new name will be given to you because you belong to him, King of kings and Lord of the Lord. Oh, this is how wonderful the new name of our God according to the book of Revelation. Okay, since you are all very tired, maybe we shall conclude 3 minutes earlier. Let's pray.